Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Jimmy Tingle has a new comedy show now touring Cape Cod. Tingle, of course, is something of a local institution, a product of the Boston comedy boom of the 1980s, which brought us people like Dennis Leary, Paula Poundstone, and Bobcat Goldthwait.
Tingle is a native of Cambridge, and he often talks about his working-class Catholic roots. Over the decades, he's toured the country as a political humorist, a writer, an actor, a filmmaker. He did commentaries for 60 Minutes 2 and MSNBC, and in 2010, he earned a master's degree from the Kennedy School of Government.
What's so funny about that? But anyway, Tingle's latest show, which he'll perform tomorrow night at the Payomet Performing Arts Center in Truro, is called Making Comic Sense, an evening of comedy, commentary, and conversation. And to help us make some comic sense of the world, Jimmy Tingle is with us right now. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Jimmy. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much, Anthony. Great to see you, Sasha.
You too.
It's good to see you. So tell us about your new show, Making Comic Sense. What are you talking about?
Well, I take things in the news that are going on and try to find comedy in them and try to make sense out of it. And I loved your introduction reading from the bio about my working class Catholic roots. I'm very, very Catholic. As a matter of fact, I recently got a tweet from Pope Francis, okay? I'm not kidding you. He's following me on Twitter. And let me just say this, okay? As a Catholic, that's a lot of pressure. Apparently, the Holy Spirit speaks in 140 characters or less.
I gotta say, well, let me ask you about this new pope and your Catholic background. What do you make of the new pope? You know, I remember talking to you years ago about this idea of you described yourself as a cafeteria Catholic, right?
Yeah.
There's some values that you like. There's some values not so much.
Right.
My guess is this pope gives you more in the cafeteria to like.
Absolutely. I think he's bridging the gap in those values. For example, one of the first things he said is, some of the other folks that have been in the Vatican have been a little more, not so much critical about capitalism, but he came out and said, listen, he was in there about a week, he said, listen, capitalism has got to do more to help the poor around the world. A lot of people are very upset. He's no pope. He's a Democrat. What's next? Heal the sick? And I loved when he came out there and said, listen, the church has got to stop obsessing about all these controversial social issues that are separating people from one another. Stop obsessing about birth control and abortion and gay marriage. What a breath of fresh air. Even my atheist friends were saying, thank God.
So, Jimmy, your Cape show, you're basically just riffing off the news. Is that what it is?
No, taking things that are in the news and that jump out at me that I can find humor in. For example, Colorado. Colorado recently legalized marijuana. And you were talking about the governor's race. Legalized pot is going to be a big issue in the governor's race. Colorado legalized marijuana 7 months ago, and the result, the data's coming in, and there's good news and there's bad news. The good news, a lot less people in jail for using marijuana. Excellent. Okay? The bad news, a lot more people lost in the woods.
So do you have kind of like when you look at the news, I'm trying to get into your comedian's brain.
Yeah.
What do you think is material for funny? Like, are there some things that are off limits? Mm. I mean, we all remember 9/11. We thought no one will ever make jokes about this. Eventually they did. So for you, is there anything off limits or what is really ripe?
I think time is the biggest factor and things like that. Right after something happens, nobody really jokes about it. But and it's not so much you joke about it as you joke about reactions to it. For example, the marijuana thing, right? President Obama, as soon as that became legal in Colorado, President Obama came on national television. He said, listen, I just want to explain to the American people that marijuana is much less damaging to people than alcohol. And I think that's basically true. Marijuana, at its best, tends to make people more creative, think noble, idealistic thoughts about helping their fellow man and woman. For example, I think the people who came up with the idea of universal health care for every single person in the United States probably smoke a marijuana. The people who actually designed the website, most likely drinking.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of what we were talking about earlier in terms of big local news story. You heard us talking about the Market Basket story that's gone on and on and on. What do you make of that? And actually, I've got a specific question. So imagine if you could get RDT and RDS Demoulas in the same room, right? What would you say to them?
I would say to RDT, thank you very much for your service. You obviously did something very, very right. You have tens of thousands of people who are from both political parties or all different walks of life and classes out there protesting to bring you back. You've done something right. I would say to Arthur S., you got to bring this guy back into the fold or they're going to rename Market Basket Market Basket Case. That's what I would say to him. Because even if they get rid of him and the news these new people come in, the damage that's been done just in PR and public relations, not as many people are ever going to shop there again, and a lot less people are going to want to work there, and I think the morale of the company would just go down the tube. So I think they got to bring Arthur T. back. The other thing about Arthur T., the great thing about him is when he was in there, one of the points of contention, he wanted to give bonuses, $20 to $40 million in bonuses to the people who built up the company. I mean, that's why there's 10,000 people out there protesting. We want Arthur T. We want bonuses. I mean, we actually earned them, unlike the people at the financial crisis who got bonuses who helped tank the country.
Jimmy, you were listening to the show when we were doing our week in review before you actually came here in the studio with us, and we heard Kurt Nickisch, our business reporter, say that on this big final deadline day where the reporters had to go back to work or be fired, they were instead having this defiant celebratory pig roast.
Right.
What do you think when you hear that? That's the response to get back to work.
I think it's exactly what they intended it to be. Like, nice try, but we're not going anywhere. They have solidarity, and they're sticking together. And that is, I think, the takeaway from this whole affair.
I'm going to take a risk here. I want to keep the conversation light, but I do want to ask you about something which I know is serious, and that is, and sad. I want to ask you about the death of Robin Williams, great comic this week. How did you respond to that, and what did you make of that?
Well, it was obviously horrible when anybody takes their own life. Anybody dies, it's terrible. And when they take their own life, it's especially terrible, and nobody knows what the real answers are. However, he did have a history of depression and substance abuse. And my take on it is, you know, for every famous person or Hollywood star or somebody who's in the media all the time, for every person like that suffers from alcoholism or substance abuse or depression or some form of mental illness, there are millions of people who suffer in relative obscurity in this country and around the world. And if there is a silver lining, or if there is some positive takeaway, is that at this time in the country, with the new healthcare legislation, it's never been easier to get medical attention for mental health issues, substance abuse issues, or depression. And so my point is, like, people, if you need help or you or a loved one needs help, get help. Mm. You know, call your local hospital. The local 12-step programs are all in the papers. They're all on the web, and there's places to get help.
And we noticed, Jimmy, that I believe you sent out a video to your fans yesterday where you actually talked about the importance of mental health. You did a little, like, it wasn't a full film, but it was like a little kind of almost PSA. So it seems like you've actively gotten involved in trying to spread the word.
Well, I made the video, and it was just it's a minute, and it's basically that, you know, we loved Robin. People loved him. He was, if you want to see Robin Williams at his best, Charlie Rose was doing a retrospective the other day over his career of sitting down with Robin Williams at his desk on his show on PBS, and it was fantastic. He was just there, him and Charlie, who's a great audience. He's laughing his head off, and he's intervening, and Robin's just doing his bits, and he was so brilliant, so funny, so on, and it was just so sad to see what happened. But it can happen to, if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. So the message is, get help. It's out there for you.
Well, let's get back to something we mentioned in the introduction, that you graduated from Harvard Kennedy School of Government a few years ago. You've built your comic career around being a sensible working-class Catholic kid from Cambridge. How does Harvard fit into that?
These are my people. These are my people. I have to tell you, I had a blast there. You know, I went back to school in my 50s, which was, that was a little nerve-wracking, but I loved it because I've always been trying to figure out how to use entertainment for purposes beyond just entertainment. And I wanted to do something completely different. I had a theater in Somerville for 5 years, and when it closed, I wanted to do something completely different. So I went back to school and got a master's there, and I loved it. I grew up in Cambridge. I was always on the outside of Harvard. Harvard's always been a good neighbor, but if you're not connected to the school, it's just kind of, you know, you're not connected to it. So this, for the first time, I was connected to the school. And as welcoming as everybody was, the professors and the students, internally, I always felt a little out of place, you know, just a little. For example, there's a lot of truth to that. For example, I was the only person in the Harvard Library reading the Herald. Now, let me say this. I love the Herald.
I proudly subscribe to it. I'm glad it's
I'm amazed there. You found a Herald in the Harvard Library.
I love it. I love the Herald. I love the big letters. You can stand in Revere and read the Herald in Newton. I love that. And the other thing about the school was the people are idealistic and they're trying to improve the world and it's great and you're around all these cool people and that's how academia is. But once you get outside of academia, the world's out there and people aren't always as friendly and as welcoming. One of the things I did at school, I rode my bike a lot. I would ride my bike back and forth and I had my backpack on. I had a light. I had a bell, ding, ding, reflectors, a helmet, right? And I love riding the bike because it keeps you young. It's easy to park. It saves money. And it's really good exercise and keeps you young. So I'm riding one day, and there was a roadblock in Central Square, and I went up on the sidewalk, right? And as I got to the sidewalk, I used my bell. There were some high school girls on the sidewalk. I hit them the bell, ding, 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 ding. One of them goes, "No bikes on the sidewalk, you jerk." I said, "I'm sorry, miss, but there's a roadblock." "I don't care. No bikes on the sidewalk." "Nice helmet, you loser." Like I said, okay, riding a bike keeps you young. I haven't been called a loser by a high school girl since high school.
I got to admit, you know, I we talk about this. Actually, it's interesting that you brought this up because we've talked about this on this show a lot. And when I encounter the, you know, real aggression out there on the streets, it's when I'm on my bike.
Yeah.
That seems to bring it out.
Yeah.
It's just like the very act of appearing on a bike just really gets certain people angry. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, if you break the rules, they get really upset. The sidewalk thing. You know, when I went up on the sidewalk, they were like, you know, I think people get aggravated with it. It was my bad. I admit it.
Yeah, right.
But it's just, you know, compared to the academia, no one would ever say, "Get your bike." You know, even if you're not supposed to ride your bike or in Harvard, yeah, they wouldn't yell at you like that. They wouldn't call you a loser.
Jimmy, I'm really fascinated by your decision to go to Harvard.
Yeah.
You went in clearly with a real goal, right? As you said, how can you use comedy for more than just entertainment? So you did the one-year program the Kennedy School has?
Yes.
What did you focus on? What did you study and what have you done with it since you got out?
Well, I ran for president. How's that? I ran for president.
You on the ballot.
On the Humor for Humanity ticket.
I see.
That was the name of my party. Humor for Humanity. Humor in helping. Humor in healing. Humor in hope. Ha, ha, ha. And that's what people would chant at my rallies. Ha, ha, ha. By the way, you people listening at home, in the course of this interview, if you hear something that resonates in your soul and moves your spirit, let freedom ring. Ha, ha, ha. And I will give you a resounding, yes, you can.
Sounds like you're running again.
I might, but I didn't get very much media attention. You know.
So riff for us a little more. Yeah. I want to sort of see how your brain works.
Okay.
The buffer zone, the abortion clinic buffer zone in Massachusetts that the Supreme Court shot down. You see comedy material there?
I do. And again, it's not in the seriousness of the issue of abortion, but you got to admit, whatever side of the issue you're on in that particular issue, people who are making those decisions, they're in a contemplative state. It's a very personal thing. It's the higher consciousness. You're going into that clinic. You're making this state. You don't want to be interrupted with people. And I thought it was ironic that the Supreme Court, of all people, they make decisions for a living. They're in sequestered rooms, black robes on, locked doors.
Yeah, talk about a buffer zone. Right?
Exactly. How would they like it if somebody opened the door in the middle of one? They're trying to decide, you know, what was the one about corporations?
Are they people?
Yeah. How would they like if somebody opened the door and go, "You're not going to tell us corporations are people, are you?" What was the name of that case?
You mean Citizens United?
Citizens
the big
United.
Campaign
Citizens United.
Exactly.
Citizens United.
Right.
Well, that's what they were saying, the corporations people. And then the other thing they said that was kind of interesting is money is a form of free speech. I'm thinking, really? Money is a form of free speech. Well, how much speech does the middle class have? You were talking about inequality earlier. How much speech do people working for minimum wage have? How many speech does the unemployed have? If money is a form of free speech, lack of money has got to be considered lack of speech. So I suggest next April 15th, when the federal government wants our tax dollars, I suggest we all write letters to Washington basically saying, listen, we'd love to pay you, but to be perfectly honest, we're speechless.
All right, Jimmy, I got to ask you about the Red Sox.
Okay,
first to worst, here they are in last place. And let me ask you about what happened yesterday. So they added four members to the Hall of Fame. We talked about it here with Bill Littlefield. Joe Castiglione, Roger Clemens, Nomar Garciaparra, Pedro Martinez, all elected to the Red Sox Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Now, Roger Clemens, somewhat controversial because there's allegations. I mean, even though they were never proven, people think that he, some people think that he was involved with performance-enhancing drugs. What do you make of this? Where's the humor in that? What's your riff on this?
Well, here you go. You know, it's not just him. It's all these other players. It happened to Big Poppy. He was MVP of the World Series in 2013. He hit .688 in the World Series, okay? Now, he almost got thrown out of the league also for being accused of using performance-enhancing drugs. And some people were saying, wow, when he won the MVP, they're saying, wow, he hit .688. I bet he's back on, you know, steroids. I don't care if he's smoking crack with the mayor of Toronto. The man hit .688 in the World Series. So I think there's lots of people probably on performance-enhancing drugs. Ted Cruz spoke for 18 hours on the Senate floor reading Green Eggs and Ham. He had to be on something. He spoke for 18 straight hours. I think a lot of people, I think athletes get singled out. And, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people are using a lot of different ways to be more competitive. And I think athletes definitely fall into that category. And unless it's something that's really harmful to them or it's definitely illegal, you know, they got to be held accountable. But I understand because it's so competitive and everybody's trying to get the upper hand and an edge.
Jimmy, the President Obama, as you know, is vacationing now on the Vineyard and what's almost become an annual visit for him. And, you know, maybe he's even listening to us. Shameless plug here. We have this new Cape station right on the Vineyard in Tisbury at 92.7. So let's say he's listening.
Yeah.
What's your joking input or advice to President Obama about everything he's dealing with these days?
Well, it's very difficult. And I hope he has a restful vacation. I don't know how you could possibly have a restful vacation. You got Iraq.
When you're the president.
When you got ISIS. First of all, you got ISIS, okay, coming across Iraq, okay, in pickup trucks. Why can't GM recall some of those pickup trucks, first of all? But ISIS is coming across Iraq. They're on their way to Baghdad. There's nothing between ISIS and Baghdad except the Tigris and Euphrates River. At this point, President Obama has to reach out to the Republican Party and get Chris Christie to shut down the bridges into Baghdad. And save
genius.
Baghdad.
If he did it in New York, he can do it in Baghdad. Jimmy Tingle is performing Making Comic Sense, an evening of comedy, commentary, and conversation on Cape Cod this month. He'll be at the Payomet Performing Arts Center in Truro tomorrow night. You can find a lot more information about that and other upcoming shows at RadioBoston.org. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming in. What a pleasure.
Great to see both of you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Jimmy.
And keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Alex Kingsbury, Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna. Tim Skog is our technical director. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday. Have a great weekend. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.